This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is back. The 2025 MLB season is upon us. So what's the easiest way to keep up with all the big stars, top scores, and fun storylines from the night before? What's the solution? Is there a secret?
Chocolate milk and squats. That's the secret.
Not quite, Pete, but there is the Morning Lineup podcast. A quick, less than 10-minute morning highlight show from MLB. It airs Mondays through Fridays on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. You bring the chocolate milk, we'll bring the baseball news.
It's the Cardinals for Shugart. Had not been scored upon against the Birds. Had not been scored upon in his last five.
There you have it. Home run call of the day. Wilson Contreras going deep. Chip Carey with the home run call. What a way to start your day. What a way to start your day. Whether you're hitting the home run, whether you're making the home run call today, whether you're listening to it, it just hits, right? Right? Well, speaking of a great way to start the day, speaking of feeling good about yourself, how about the Sacramento, whatever you want to call them, the A's? 20-16, four games over 500. That was, math would line up on that. One game in back of first place. Good for them, man. Good for them. We see a lot of the standings about some of the surprises, most of them because it's like, a lot of these teams that we thought were going to be really, really good are sort of mid. But the A's, it playing in Sacramento, how about that? How about that? That has to be a great story. And you know what? Good for them. Good for them because they finally invested a little bit, and it's paying off. Seeing some of these guys develop. That's the way baseball works. A little patience, some good investments, you're actually good. And Mark Cotte's a really, really good manager. All right. So, speaking of coaching, speaking of managing, speaking of guiding teams, I think that one of the most intriguing elements, one of the most intriguing positions, one of the most intriguing occupations in baseball is pitching coach. Why? Because you have to guide such an eclectic group of people. Not only an eclectic group of people in terms of personalities, but in terms of skill sets, in terms of abilities, in terms of what makes each of them great or good or just good enough. The pitching coach, that's what the pitching coach does when it comes to these pitchers. Especially now. It is a task, man. You have to keep up with the Joneses when it comes to all the technology, whether it comes to pitch shapes, whether it comes to what you want to prioritize and what you don't want to prioritize. And I know that everybody says, you know, how nasty pitching is and it's so ahead of hitters. Well, you know, you still have to hit the right buttons. You still have to guide these guys. You still have to understand where the game is going. And yes, understand the evolution of everything, and we've used that word a lot. I understand, but still, it's true. The evolution of baseball is one of the most important things that we can pay attention to. And a guy who always pays attention to it, a guy who is a pitching coach, Andrew Bailey. Andrew, I've known since he was playing, and yes, he played the great game of baseball at the highest level as a major league closer, but also he's expertly morphed into this current role of a pitching coach because of his intelligence, because of his curiosity, because of his acceptance that you can't just say, well, this is how I did it and everybody should do it that way. No, that's not how it works when it comes to a pitching coach. So I always like sitting down with Andrew. That's exactly what we did today. Talk all things pitching coach. All things pitching coach. I was going to say pitching coach dumb, but that's really not a word. All right. At BB isn't boring. Thank you, everybody. Rating, reviewing, subscribing, following, just enjoying. @BB isn't boring. Thank you to producer Evan for doing such a great job. All right. Here you go. Here's Andrew Bailey. There's no human being on the planet I'd rather be talking to than Andrew Bailey.
How are you?
Good. How you doing?
I'm great.
Awesome.
I'm great.
Enjoying Canada?
I love Canada.
Yeah. I love coming here.
I stayed on a boat.
I saw that video.
You stayed on a boat out here?
A bed and breakfast boat.
Okay.
The Boatel.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's show.
It seems like a better idea than it really is.
Yeah.
It is because you kind of sleep in a coffin in the middle of the front of the boat. And also, bed and breakfast when you're working.
Yeah.
Not great.
Not time to relax.
No. People like, here, have the pumpkin pancakes. I'm like, no, I got to go.
Yeah.
I got to go. Well,
that sounds, I'll keep that in my back pocket for if I ever visit Toronto.
No, I wouldn't keep it in my back pocket.
Okay.
You been up to the tower, the CN Tower?
I haven't.
Never?
It's something I've always wanted to do. I haven't, I don't even know how many years this is coming to Toronto, but I haven't had the opportunity.
Are you a heights guy?
No, I'm fine.
You're fine with heights?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know about like skydiving or bungee jumping. I'm not quite ready to like, I love my kids and my wife, but like, going up behind a glass window sounds great.
I was not planning on asking. What's the most extreme thing that you've ever done?
Is this going to be aired?
Yeah, you don't.
Most extreme thing. I mean,
besides the Vinoy pool in 2013.
Yeah, okay. How'd you hear about that?
I know everything. Okay. Like, Tori Lavella came on the podcast and talked about it. As a disclaimer, 2013 off day.
Yeah, we're good. We'll pass
No, I'm just trying. It's everyone was celebrating the off day in the Vinoy pool and winning the World Series, so whatever you did would work.
Yep.
Anyway, go ahead.
I love Tori. I'd have to think about that. Most extreme thing I've ever done.
I went ziplining over Honduras jungle last year.
Yeah.
I'm not a heights guy.
No, I mean, like, what do they call that? Like, parasailing? Parasailing.
Yeah.
Jumped off some cliffs, like nothing.
You did?
Well, nothing crazy, but like,
that's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, it's in the water, Hawaii.
Okay,
like, yeah, like,
so not like
nothing,
a quarry in Gloucester.
No. But yeah, I would. I've never been to like skydiving or bungee jumping.
Okay,
maybe someday.
All right. So, well, all that said,
yes.
Are you? I got you.
I'm buzzing.
Oh yeah, you got to go.
No.
Okay. All that said, when you're in the middle, every time I see you, man, like, you're doing something. You're working.
Yep.
You seem to genuinely love your job.
Yep.
I think, which is a big thing,
yep.
right?
Yeah.
I don't know if you love it even more than playing. I mean, maybe that's a tough one, right?
That's a tough one. It's different. It's completely different. I think, like, what coaching has given me is to be able to look at the game through multiple lenses that I haven't experienced as a player. I think as a player, it's very selfish in a way, right? Because your performance is obviously important, and then it affects the team's performance. So it's always geared towards that. I think from the coaching standpoint, there's the game component, which I've looked at through a couple different lenses now, but the ability to support, impact others, to help them achieve their dreams is something that's really cool. And baseball, like, is always, it's a petri dish of information.
Yeah.
And you're always learning and you're always kind of on the go. But I think the busyness comes from, you know, we have 13 really important human beings in there that are at different points in their life, contractually, service time-wise, humanity-wise in terms of they're getting married or whatever, where they're at in their points of life. They just had a kid. So impacting the human being is really important to me, and just, you know, being there for the relationship side of things, but ultimately how that affects what happens on the field and getting a sense and understanding where they're at, you know, physically, mentally, emotionally on a daily basis.
That's a lot, man.
It is a lot. And then there's the chapter book of development, right? Yeah. It's like, development doesn't have to end at the major league level. Yes, we're competing for a World Series title, but like, if we ever think that we have this thing solved, you know, we're pretty naive. And yes, we want our players to do what they're really good at and maximize their strengths as often as possible, but how can we raise the floor? And always having conversations and providing with the information and feedback that they need at a given day that is the right timing, and timing is really important on all that.
So, because I'm going to bring it always back to myself, when I first started coaching basketball, high school basketball, I was a lunatic on the sidelines, and the reason is that all of a sudden you realize, instead of just worrying about yourself, you're worrying about five guys on the floor, and really guys on the bench and something like that.
Yeah.
I would imagine, like, so that's the answer for you is, like, this is,
you have to worry about yourself. You have to worry about all the things that you talked about, personal, professional, yourself.
Yeah.
Now it's fixing everybody else.
Yeah, well, you carry the burden for everybody else, right?
Not to interrupt, but are you only as happy as your unhappiest child?
Yeah, in some ways.
Okay,
yeah,
all right.
Yeah,
so go ahead.
I think so, yes.
Okay. So you carry the burden for, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, you know, you take a team win, right? Like, 90% of the time, there's going to be a pitcher that kind of struggles through that team win, or, you know, we have to get them early, or they give up a run or two, and you kind of, your mind's always with that person, right? It's very easy to just, like, give kudos and reflect, and but bringing it back to the individual is really important to me, because not everyone experiences the result the same way, too, right? And this game, you know, like you spoke about the intensity in which you brought on a daily basis for the game, right? Like, we play 162, and If we do live and die with the ebbs and flows of the season, of course, right? You lose a couple in a row. There's just, all right, we got to win, right?
Yeah.
You know, when we can stick to a process and step back a little bit and view it from an outside lens and scope, it gives me a different vantage point than maybe the player in the moment and being reflective on the one inning or the one pitch that they threw relative to a collective whole of 10 innings of quality work.
When you do have a situation like this where you have to, you're trying to get a guy out of a rut, you're trying to find a guy the right track who was on previously a right track,
yep,
knows that it's in there, you know how to do it, but everyone's human being, they get, and so for you, yep, what is the thing you go to? This is a big question, but is it mental, is it physical, is it video? Like,
yeah, I mean, I think, like, physically is always the, you know, are we healthy? Are we good? Are we recovering well? Are we staying consistent with our routines? How's our training going? How's the recovery been between outings, between starts, whatever that is? And then kind of unveiling, getting more into the weeds of things like, how are our locations? How's our count leverage? Are we consistently getting to our areas of intent? Are our mistakes getting hit? Does our attack plan need to change? Are the hitters telling us something different? Like, all of these things kind of go into it. You know, the tipping side of things that you reference, I think sometimes you can chase ghosts there if you allow it. If that's the first thing you go to, it's a tough one. But there's a component of that. Of course, we play a game. So there's always a lot of kind of circles to complete when you're talking about performance, you know, over a period of time and making changes with a pitcher or doing things a little differently.
A lot has been made of, like, Bregman being, like, sort of getting in cages and talking, hitting.
Mm-hmm.
But I get a sense that also you got a group of guys, like, you do have, like, some older guys and some old souls, like Garrett Crochet, who like that. For you,
that's love it.
Right? I mean, because you've probably been on teams that had that and didn't have that.
I mean, anytime you have a culture where you come to work and you talk about work, I mean, that's pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
And we just happen to play a game for a living, and these guys live and breathe it. They're baseball rats. And, you know, for me, like, to have a guy like Alex, to have, you know, Garrett coming in the next day after a start and already prepping for the next one and talking through hitters, like, it's a really cool environment to be in. And it's driving performance, and they want to win. And the organic conversation, baseball talk, is so important from the foundation of the clubhouse.
And it's good.
And you want that.
Yeah.
Post game.
You put it well. Like, when you come to work and you want to talk about work.
Yeah, it means you love what you're doing.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
It's not just a hangout spot and we get to go play a game. It's like, no, we're talking shop. We're beating it up. We're asking questions. We're challenging each other. We're holding each other accountable. So all of that stuff kind of circles into the culture of what AC's done an amazing job at building over a long time.
Just a couple more. The evolution of every year is an evolution. I probably asked you this question last year. I'm like, what is
what you've noticed from the last 6 months, I'd say, of the evolution of pitching. I talked to Chris Bassett, who I think is a like-minded, likes to watch, observe, and we talked about Maley in Texas, like what he's done. And so for you, in the last, since the first day of spring training to now, what have you seen in pitching that's sort of evolved?
Ooh, interesting. I think the biggest thing for me over the last like year plus is the two different fastball shapes kind of coming back a little bit. I think like the understanding arsenals from what your kind of strike grabbers are versus your pitches that generate swing and miss. I think for me, you see a little bit more of robustness in arsenals around the league for certain reasons, and we're always trying to problem solve for handedness, so lefties and righties, and understand how those two play are really fascinating. But that's kind of what I've seen.
This is the ability to, like, you talk about fastball. So last year we talked a lot about spin, right?
Yeah.
And it worked. But the fastball of, because there's different shapes of fastballs, the ability to do exactly what everyone wants, which is throw that in the heart of the plate for strike one, because it's hard to hit, right?
Yeah.
This isn't just a straight ball.
Right? I think like understanding where hitters are hitting your pitches off the bat is important too. So with the data that you can get now, it's like, okay, where are they hitting my sinker off of the bat? Is it on the barrel? Is it on the handle? Is it off the end? It's getting a sense for contact quality. Where the hitters are actually making impact on the bat, also relative to home plate, whether it's out in front, is it behind, depth wise. So there's a lot of different nuance there, and I think the ability to have the randomness component a little bit, always wanting to leverage your best weapons, but generally like understanding what your biggest missed weapons are is really important, and understanding that like spin is usually going to drive swing and miss, but how do the fastballs play in the repertoire is kind of the growth that we've seen from last year to this year. Is like, okay, guys really harnessing in on what they can generate swing and miss at and reduce contact, but how do you make those play up and use the arsenal as a whole in totality? So there wasn't ever really a drive to, we hate fastballs. It's just like, are we using them appropriately?
You mentioned contact. Maybe this is a stupid question. Pitching coach perspective of the torpedo bat.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, it's brilliant.
Right? So you think so?
Yeah. I mean, I as long as they're operating within the framework of the rules.
You like evolution. Like we did.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Right? And like, when that came up, it's like, why didn't we think of this before?
Yeah.
Right?
Like, it's like, I just talked about this yesterday. There was, I think Rafi hit a line drive over the third base bag, and it went straight into the net. And I was talking to Devin Rose, and Devin's like, that wasn't here when you played. I'm like, no. And it makes complete sense that every stadium has these nets here. Like, evolution. Like, we just saved a life, right? Like, it's like, it's just commonplace now.
Yeah.
So for me, the technology, we're always trying to win at the margins. I think it's brilliant, as long as we're operating within the framework of the rules of the game and the barrel sizes are the same, like, who says you can't have a little bit more heavier weighted bat, in the barrel, or make it a little bit bigger or whatever, but like, yeah, I think it's...
We actually had Dickie Scott, who's a Syracuse Mets manager. I talked to him the other day, and he's like, Jeff McNeil was down there. Now, Jeff McNeil won a batting title with a different bat.
Yeah.
He's like, this guy loves a torpedo bat.
Yeah.
So when you have a guy who won a batting title saying, like, he's open to it,
yeah,
you should listen to him.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, change or difference isn't always bad, right? There's things that happen for good, too, and whether it's the health of a player, better performance, and again, like, as long as we're both pitchers and hitters are operating within the framework of the game and the rules, I think we're fine, and they should be trying to adjust to what pitchers are trying to do, and why wouldn't they try and do different bat weights and lengths based off of the pitcher's usage or what their pitch types that they throw? Like, I think it's all up in the air.
Last thing, I've been wanting to ask you this. Aroldis Chapman throws 100, over 100, 102.
at whatever age he is?
Yeah.
It's a very simple question. How? How does he do it?
He's a machine. I've never seen a more structured routine. I've never seen someone take care of themselves so well. I don't know how Rodas was when he was younger. I've loved learning his story from his upbringing in Cuba and coming to the States and him being able to kind of divulge that information in a very casual way. It's like unbelievable. And now, you know, at his age, still throwing 103 the other day is just a... obviously, like, he's very twitchy, the way he gathers and moves down the mound and all the different things that you want to dive into, but I think ultimately it comes down to his structure and his routines on a daily basis. I know he talks about, you know, lifting. He gets up early, he lifts early in the morning, comes in, gets his throne done, relaxes, sleeps, preps his body, does all of those things, tracks and monitors all his everything, and it's like, it's amazing to see, you know, at his age how, I would love to know how it evolved, and, you know, I know some of the story, but like, it's just a testament to who he is, his character, his ability to be available as often as he is and go out there and do that consistently is amazing.
All right. Well, that was amazing. Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
Appreciate it.